Welcome to the CFB Dynasty Podcast with hosts Matt Knowles, Brian McElfrish, and Doug Gravely.
What's up? What's up? No Matt Knowles, it's just B-Mac and Doug here. So today, just kind of changing it up a little bit, recording on a Wednesday. We're talking Devy. Sorry, it's Thursday. NFL Draft Round 1. So this is the exciting time of year when a lot of leagues will do their, you know, rookie drafts starting at the end of this weekend, or they'll do Devy drafts around this time. Obviously, there's startup dynasty leagues happening all the time. So where's this rank for you, Doug, on the most anticipated football days of the year?
Oh, bro. I mean, probably number two. Since I joined the league, I love our college fantasy football draft day. Even when I'm at work, it's like all I can think about, and I get the chills and the little sweats. But yeah, this is a super close number two because it's tradition. I know a lot of people posted about it today on Twitter and stuff, or X. Man, I'm about to turn on draft day here in a few, watch the movie, get ready for the draft. And unlike a lot of, you know, a lot of my buddies, I'm a big fan of the Jags. So a lot of guys don't like a single pro team anymore. Still a big fan. I love seeing what they're going to do. I like all the Balky hate speech afterwards. So this is just a huge day for me. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah.
Are you excited?
It's the peak of the NFL season for me. I love the NFL draft because I'm more a college guy. So anyways, if you have a question, like, or if you're thinking about Devy, thinking about kind of spicing up your dynasty league a little bit, one of the main reasons, and we do have this ultimate guide to Devy. It's like a little intro where we answer, what is Devy fantasy football? It's essentially, you know, it can be multiple things. You know, our league, if you hear us talk about it, is college to pro. You draft players in college and then they graduate up to your NFL team. And that's super fun. And then in college, we kind of have to draft with a balance of pro potential and college production. So in most cases, though, it's like people don't play or accrue points on the college fantasy side, but they're Devy assets. So like you might already own Caleb Williams in your NFL fantasy team, and he's a tradable asset for you, which just it's always good. Like, you know, drafts are the most fun. Trades are way up there, of course. You know, winning a championship's obviously the most fun, but draft day and just talking trades with your buddies or whoever you're in the league with. So if you just kind of spice it up, you're able to trade draft picks, you're able to trade Devy assets, that just adds some fun to the off season.
That opens up in our league tonight, so that's pretty fun too, man. The trade talks, yeah. I think we're gonna start. So
yeah, absolutely. So we talk in this article. I'll put it up on the screen real quick. We talk in this article about basically how a Devy league is different from a standard redraft fantasy league, and there are multiple styles. It changes draft strategies a bit, and there's a lot out there. And it's great. So like Sleeper, I know, has accounted for Devy, and you can have those Devy assets if you play on Sleeper, which is a great fantasy app. Anyways, if you want to go in depth there, cool. We're going to go over our Devy rankings, and we talk about it. We've had a lot of meetings about it and kind of gone over it and came up with our rankings. These are available on the site, so we have teaser rankings, essentially a top 10 quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends. If you're watching online, you can see on the screen where it's at, but it's just under rankings on the top navigation of the website. And then you can go over to Draft Central. If you're a member, you can click in and see whatever. We've got 50 quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and I think 30 tight ends that are available to help you with your Devy drafts, whether it's an NFL stash or you just need some pro potential on your college fantasy roster. This is ideal for that. So why don't we start, Doug, with quarterback, and I don't know, just tell us who you like. Who's your top guys that you want to talk about?
Man, I'll just start off with who we have at number 10 real quick, because I know the hype is there for this guy right now, especially after a spring game. I'm going to roll with Arch Manning here. Man, he looked good in the spring game. That's all I can say. And could be a situation where if Ewer starts to struggle a little bit, you might hear the fans yelling for Arch's name. Who knows? But,
yeah.
I mean, Arch just looks like he could be – he could live up to the name a little bit to me. I mean, do you feel that, or do you think it's still a little bit too much hype? What are you thinking?
No, I do. I think he's really good. But here's the thing. When it comes to fantasy football, is the running quarterbacks just that the difference in – you know, 1 point for every 10 yards rushing, and then you add in the element of rushing touchdowns, that changes the equation in favor of dual threat quarterbacks. So while I love Arch Manning, and I think he's going to be fantastic there and have a fantastic NFL career in terms of fantasy production, that's why we have a guy like DJ Lagway one spot ahead, mm-hmm. because of that element of the run.
Yeah. And we got Jalen Miller right there too, because of the run as well. But he's just I like Arch, man. I just think he's going to be good. I think he's going to be just like his brothers. He could be. He's got a great arm for sure. He showed that in the spring game.
Yeah,
and he was dropping dimes on like long routes. It wasn't just like, oh, let's hit you on a 5-6 yard out route and put it in your numbers. He was hitting, you know, 40 yard passes just right where they're supposed to be.
And they lost a lot, and we'll see them drafted tonight in round one. I'd say A.D. Mitchell, Xavier Worthy are going to be going probably in the first round, both of them. But they've got some great weapons back. So they'll have a lot to work with. DeAndre Moore, Jonte Cook. There's a lot there. So, and, of course, a really good running game and continually improving O-line at Texas. So yep. The way they're recruiting too, you expect Arch his whole career to be surrounded by great talent. So
for sure.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really good. If it was legit just NFL potential only, not with the fantasy tag on it, then it would be a totally different rankings. But yeah, that's why we've got some running quarterbacks ahead of him.
Yeah, for sure. What about you, B-Mac? Who stands out to you, man?
So I still love Milrow, and I love his potential. He's got to put it all together, of course. So we'll see what he can do with Alabama, the new coaching staff, that those set of receivers. But in terms of his skill set, his speed and power, arm strength, all that stuff, he's got everything you could want in a quarterback. So one of the most electric players in all of college football. So if he can put it together in terms of being able to read defenses and accurate throws, like, he's got scary, scary potential. So we'll see. I mean, he's got quarterback one potential for sure if he puts it all together on the field. But
he's so fast. I mean, he's just so incredibly fast. And he's got a great arm. I mean, yeah. We saw that in the game last year, you know, where he's falling back and they score that touchdown, you know,
yeah.
At the end of the game. Like,
yeah.
He's got a great arm for sure. He's fun to watch. The only concern I have, and not really even a concern, I guess, but who's he going to have to really throw the ball to except for Bernard? You know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean, Bernard looked really good in the spring, but I can't wait to see what Ryan Williams can do in that offense.
But I like Milrow. I like Milrow a lot. He's a great pick there for sure. I'll go with one, and I know you have a lot to say about this guy. Number five, man, we got Jackson Dart. Feel like he's the the dad of the group we've talked about so far. But, man, the things I love the most about him, and I said this on the pod last week if you guys were watching, but he's just so strong. you know, like mentally, physically, he can take hits and get right back up and say, let's do it again. Like, you ultimately don't want that from your quarterback in the pros, but, you know, it is what it is. He's smart. He knows the game. He knows when to run when he has to. He doesn't like to. I think he likes to throw the ball a lot more. But if he has to run, he will. And he's not afraid to lower his shoulder and drop the boom, I guess. So I like him a lot, but I want to let you talk about him because I know he's a guy that you have lived and breathed by in fantasy. So.
Yeah, so I guess I'll catch everyone up on our top 10 kind of going backwards right now. We do have 50 on there available on Draft Central, but it's Arch Manning at 10, Milroe at 9, Lagway at 8, Carson Beck at 7, Shedeur Sanders at 6, Jackson Dart at 5. So yeah, I like Dart a lot. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in his draft stock because everybody's, you know, all over, of course, Shedeur, Carson Beck with good reason. But these two guys, Milroe and Dart, can do more for their NFL potential this year, I think, than anyone else can. Like, I don't know how, like, Shedeur will look great. I don't know how much better he can look. Same with Beck in the offense. But these two guys can show some dramatic improvement with the added element on the ground. Certainly yep. Tough guys. So
for sure.
I like them. We've got Drew Aller at 4. And he's a show me guy. Like he's up there certainly because of his, you know, size and strength and all that stuff. But, there's work to do for sure. Mm-hmm. As far as that goes. And then we've got Nico Iamaliava here at 3.
I'm so glad you say that name every time and not me.
It's kind of fun to say.
I torture it, so I let you roll with it.
But that one's going to be interesting, too, to see which wide receivers kind of break out there at Tennessee because I think that'll happen this year. Like, this offense will have a bounce-back year. They were really good running the ball last year, but it's – you know, and the running backs were good, but, you know, Milton – was not the strength. His passing was not the strength of the offense. And
right.
You kind of expect that to bounce back under Heupel. And they'll be spread around. They'll have receivers out there, but Nico can also run. He ran for 4 touchdowns, I think, in the bowl game last year.
Yeah, he did.
In his first start. So it'll be interesting to see what he can do. Does he have QB1 potential in college fantasy? Maybe, but
I mean,
maybe not with that.
Know, though.
Maybe not with the SEC schedule, but right. And if he stays healthy, though, like Tennessee can put up some points in a hurry.
Oh yeah, for sure.
With the Iamaliava, so we like him. And then who do we got at 2?
Number 2, we've got Jackson Arnold, who. It was another one that made some flashes and, you know, at the end of the season. And then Oklahoma is another team that just seems to, you know, always have weapons for their quarterback. So I think he's great at number 2, you know, he's another one that, you know, will run. He's got a great arm. He seems to be smart with the ball. He's young. So he's going to have some mistakes and stuff, but he's good, and I've got him on my fantasy team, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do for me.
Yeah, so. And this is what you'll see. Our top 5 are all dual threat guys. You know, Lagway, Milroe, dual threat guys. You know, Shedeur can run a little bit, but he's definitely pocket passer first. And our number 1 guy right now, the talent, we won't see him probably much on the field this year at Oregon backing up Dylan Gabriel, but Dante Moore transferred from UCLA to Oregon, played a lot as a true freshman, and it's going to be an important year for him to learn from Dylan Gabriel kind of how to do things at a professional level, and I think he's going to have a monster year the following year.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon continues to recruit really, really well, so he's going to have receivers like crazy around him.
Yeah, they got Blair coming in, 5-star receiver this year. McClellan, a 4-star receiver. He's going to have young kids to grow with for sure.
Yep. Jerrion Dickey's in his class.
Dickey, for sure. Yep. Another one. And I think they also recruited a really good tight end. So he's definitely going to have the weapons. And they always seem to have a running back that's really good out of the backfield too, catching the ball. So he's going to have the tools to succeed, and he's going to have the teammates to succeed. It's just hopefully he can put it together.
All right. Is there anyone – who are a couple of your favorites that are not in our top 10?
Oh, man.
Just give me a couple.
I've got a role. We talk about dual threat guys. And maybe he'd be higher if he was on a bigger team, but I've got a role with Byron Brown for sure. Is a huge one. He's got the size. He's, you know, and he's a dual threat guy like you like to see in fantasy. And then, man, I'm really, really excited to see what Miller Moss can do at USC. I think he's – I don't know much about him. Maybe you know a little bit more than me. I don't know if he's a runner. I think he's more of a pocket passer. But USC is another one. They've always got weapons. They've always got talent. And they produce good quarterbacks, man. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm really excited about Moss and Byron Brown for sure.
All right, a couple that I'll be watching early in the year. Yes, dual threat guys. They're kind of up-and-comers. Aiden Childs at Michigan State. Can't wait to see what he can do.
We've talked about him so much.
It could be special. So we'll see. Though there's a lot of moving pieces at Michigan State. And then Kyren Drones at Virginia Tech. It's great to see the resurgence of Virginia Tech, and they're starting to become relevant again. But Drones can flat out run, of course, but he's got a good arm too. So he's one of those two, like if he puts it all together, becomes buttoned up as a passer and all that stuff, being able to make good decisions, good football decisions, then I think he can move his way up this board quite a bit. And there are plenty of others, you know, like Nussmeier, we've got at 13, could totally, by halfway through the year, we could be talking about him as, you know, battling up there as a top 10 potential pick, just because he's got plenty of talent around him. O-line's improved at LSU. The run game should be supportive, a little bit supportive. And, yeah, good talent at receiver around him. All the skills in the world. I'll show you one clip. I don't know if you've seen. So as we transition over to running backs, I've got a Caleb Jackson clip for you.
All right.
So let's see how this LSU run game, as we transition from quarterback to running back, let's take a quick look here at this guy. Nice stiff arm.
Bam. Oh, my word. So I wonder if he gave that guy his man card back.
Yeah, that one. I mean, this is what you think of. So this is Caleb Jackson obliterating, like running over a guy where his neck just seemingly snaps and his helmet gets stuck in the ground almost. But what a run. Anyways, we'll see a lot more of that. That's what I expect when I think of LSU running backs, and, you know, watching LSU over the years, they always have a really great running game and a great defense. So it's been a little weird to watch them for the last couple seasons, but I think the O-line is going to be better. Still have other running backs that are kind of recovering from injury. It should be all Caleb Jackson. It was mostly Caleb Jackson all spring, and I expect that to continue into the fall, and he'll help out quite a bit. So let's go with just our list here. I'm gonna switch over and just go backwards 10-1, and we can kind of go through this list kind of quickly. So we've got Ashton Jeanty from Boise State at 10. Hyper productive player, and you know, someone who can jump over people, run people over. He doesn't have top end speed, but he's definitely got speed. So we'll see how that goes in next year's draft, because he's back at Boise State for another year, obviously. got Darius Taylor from Minnesota at 10, sophomore. He's had some injuries that he's battled so far in his career, but when he's played, he's been incredibly productive, and someone that you would expect to see. You know, maybe he's like, there's very rarely a first round level running back, so I'm not saying he's gonna be there, but probably a day two running back is really, in the NFL, what you need. You want, so day ones are elite, that's great. Day two, though, in terms of contract and everything, like, you've got that draft capital that you're looking for. I think Genty falls into that. I think Darius Taylor falls into that. And then same thing for our next few, where it's Ollie Gordon at Oklahoma State, Omarion Hampton at North Carolina, number 7, Trevor Etienne now at Georgia as a junior. Like, I think all of those guys, you know, maybe Etienne could sneak in as an end of round one pick, but I still think he's more likely to be a day two type of guy. Any comments on those guys as we just went 10 through 6?
No, not really, man. The only question I have, and for people that might be wondering, for you, I know we've talked about it and stuff, but for people wondering, what's the difference, you know, why do we have Genty at 10 as opposed to 1 like we have him on everything else?
Yeah, so it's all about NFL potential here, and we've included all class levels. So, you know, these rankings will change too. We keep them live throughout the season as we update them. And so, you know, maybe somebody like Nate Frazier, for a freshman from Georgia, pops off. Cameron Davis at FSU could totally pop off this year, or Reuben Owens or Dylan Sampson, et cetera, at Tennessee. So we'll see how things evolve as we see these guys on the field against, you know, college defense of some of these freshmen. That can change the rankings, but it's all based on NFL potential. So we're looking for good hands, size, speed, power, vision, all that stuff.
Sweet.
And then at 5, Quinshon Judkins, who's going to share space with our number 2 running back in the Ohio State backfield, Travion Henderson, sitting at number 2. And then these guys, though, I think are all potential, like, you know, number, like, first round guys, I would say, would be our top 5. We've got Judkins. We've got Justice Haynes at Alabama, Nick Singleton at Penn State, Travion, we mentioned, at number 2. And then the guy we've got on the screen right now, both of us like him number 1, Cedric Baxter at Texas. I think in terms of NFL potential, he's got everything you could want.
Yeah, for sure. Cedric Baxter is so good. Again, another back that's great out of the backfield. He's shifty, makes great cuts. He looks like the vision is already there for him. You know, he knows where to go with the ball. and he's just a solid all-around back, man. I think anytime you can get the running back that's potentially going to give you 20 yards a carry, it seems like, in most games, that's something that you definitely want. And depending what team he goes to in the pros, if they've got a good offensive line, he can just pick up right where he left off in college. He's just good.
Yeah, and the hands, like you said, like, he can run routes right now. He has done that for Texas, not just, you know, screen passes and stuff. Like, he'll get out there and run some routes, and he's got good size, all the traits that you would want. And then in Texas, like, he's going to produce. He's going to be running behind a really good O-line, and he's got a pocket passer for a quarterback. So I like everything that's going to happen for his career there at Texas. The only thing that could hold him back is if he ends up, like, somehow battling against a better running back that gets there. They've got they continue to recruit really well, of course, at every position, including running back. So we'll see how everything shakes out. But I like Baxter a lot to kind of take over and remain running back one for Texas. Okay, let's transition over to wide receiver, which I feel like is freaking loaded.
Oh, it's so loaded.
Loaded. So, oh man, why don't you start? Count us down. Give us little bit of information, starting at number 10.
So at number 10, man, we got Emeka Egbuka, who looked solid in the spring game. It looked like, yes, there's so much hype around Jeremiah Smith, as there should be, which we'll talk about him here in a little while. But, I mean, Egbuka looked like he caught everything that they threw at him in the spring game. There was questions wondering if he was going to be the guy. There probably still is, because there's so many people in that offense. But we've definitely got Egbuka at 10, and I think it's warranted. Great route runner. Showed he's got great hands. He's been around for a while. He knows the offense. They trust him. And he could be a really good, you know, I don't know about number one, but a really good number two receiver in the NFL when he comes out, I think.
Yeah, well, he'll be a first-round pick, so I think, at least, maybe. We'll see. But he's definitely got that potential. He's going to be a high draft pick for sure. At 9 and 8, we have absolute electricity here. We've got Zachariah Branch from USC. He's going to be a true sophomore this year. And then at number 8, Eugene Wilson from Florida also will be a true sophomore. Both very productive. Eugene Wilson's going to be the feature of the Gators' offense this year, which should be good under Mertz. And then, really, though, like, Zachariah Branch is elite-level speed. Both of these guys are super fast. Branch is special speed. I think both of these guys are pretty much first-round picks. If you can get either one of these guys as a Devy asset or on your college fantasy team, massive. I've been trying to get Zachariah Branch from Mike Davis for a freaking soon as he drafted him. Like,
and then you missed out on the other one.
Well, so I took who we have at number 6, a pick ahead of Zachariah Branch. So it's not too bad, but still, like, Eugene Wilson, that was a bad miss by me.
Yeah, I like to tease you about it every year, but it's fine. So at number 7, a guy that I really like, Tech McMillan out of Arizona. Even with Cowing, and those of us that have played college fantasy football know that Cowing was amazing wherever he was. Even with Cowing in that offense, McMillan shined. I mean, he was really, really good. I did hear that he had a leg injury. I don't know the extent, but still, for Devy rankings, he's up there for sure. He's going to have the opportunity to be a pro and be a good one. So I like Ted McMillan. Then we talked briefly about, at number 6, Carnell Tate. What do you like about Tate?
So he did get a lot of hype coming out. Just – his ability to, like, transition from high school to college, like, he stood out in Ohio State practices quickly. And I think it was Marvin Harrison Jr. said of him, like, he's ahead of where I was as a freshman. And
That's big words for the potential number one receiver coming off the board tonight.
Yeah, that is big. So we'll see how it develops this year. It's just going to be a little weird, I feel like, at Ohio State as far as wide receivers, because I feel like there will be a transition where Ohio State, you had at least two guys each of the last few years that were top NFL talent guys playing in college, of course, but from a pocket passer, and they were great in college fantasy. With the transition to a dual threat guy, a quarterback now.
Well, the issue too is they haven't even said who the starter is going to be at quarterback.
Yeah. So, yeah. But either way, even if it's Devin Brown, he's a dual threat guy. You know, if it's, from Kansas State, Will Howard, then still a dual threat guy. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I just don't know if there's going to be enough volume for any of these guys. Will one of them take off this year? Could be Egbuka, could be Tate. We'll see what the development was there. And
it
then
could be the other one.
It could be the other one. We'll get to in a minute. But got a couple freshmen because of their size, their speed, all of that. They're coming out as top five recruits in the country. Ryan Williams for Alabama at number five. He's been kind of he's the faster of the two, more electric of the two guys. Cam Coleman, he's got a lot of room to grow in terms of strength, but he can be you know, both of these guys can be outside wide receiver one type talents in the NFL as they develop. So we've got those two, Ryan Williams, Cam Coleman, five and four. And then the guy we've had on the screen for the last 5 minutes, Evan Stewart, just making catch after catch after catch, acrobatic. Like, he's got the leaping ability, the speed, the offense that he's going to be in there at Oregon. It's going to be pretty epic watching that Oregon offense this year, I think. And I love the talent of Evan Stewart. And I got to say, I struggled. Like, he could be number one on this list. But love Evan Stewart.
For sure. Yeah, and at number two, I mean, this list might look kind of funny to you guys. Three Ohio State guys. At number two, we got Jeremiah Smith. I mean, we've all heard the hype. Even we talked about Egbuka. Even Egbuka said in the spring game when they were talking to him, how excited he is to play with, you know, Jeremiah Smith, and how he looks forward to him growing just this season. Man, Jeremiah Smith looks like he's got it all together already.
Yeah.
He's just so good. And I feel like hype comparison, you know, we talked about Carnell Tate. I feel like the hype's even bigger with Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah. Yeah. And the player comp for Jeremiah Smith is Julio Jones, and I like that a lot.
He made a lot of fantasy owners cry when they played against him. So, yeah, Jeremiah Smith, he's a beast, and a freshman. You look for him in the next, you know, probably 3 years to be the number one receiver potentially taken in the draft. So it'll be fun. And then number one, man, a guy that you and I love watching play and hate watching him play against us as Florida fans. but Luther Burden, I think him and Evan Stewart are so electric, so good that in this draft, it's going to be a toss up for who potentially is the number one receiver that's going to get drafted. Igbuka's up there too, don't get me wrong, but I think Luther Burden and Evan Stewart could be the one and two receivers off the 2025 draft board for sure. They're just so good, so talented, catch everything. Route running is great, and they just make you look like you're a cone when you're out on the field because they just dance around you.
Yeah, well, you said it. So why don't we go ahead and do it? We've gone through quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, top 10. The rest of those top 50s are available if you log in. Let's go ahead and do our let's do a 12-team 2025 mock and see how we think this is going to go. Fantasy mock, all right? This is not, you know, we're not taking any O-linemen or anything here. So I'm going to put you on the clock first.
At one?
At number one.
You would do this to me.
So this is as if we were doing 1 year ahead. Who's going to be the 2025 rookie mock draft for an NFL team?
Oh, gosh, man. I think because of where he is this year, he's just going to elevate his stock even more than already is. I'm going to take Evan Stewart at one.
Ooh, all right.
I mean, right. Just him playing at Oregon, man. I think the – you know, the coach loves to score too. So I think he's just going to get so many opportunities.
Yeah, I think production matters. I think production matters a lot. So players that are not eligible for this would be like our running back one, Cedric Baxter, because he'll be a true sophomore. this year, not eligible for the 2025 NFL draft. So I'm going to stick with Luther Burden is who I'll take at pick number two.
I like it. I like that a lot. And, man, this one's tough for me because I like so many here. But I really like Singleton. I think Singleton is going to be great. I think he's got all the tools you want in a pro running back, and I'm going to take Singleton at for number three.
Yeah, he's got the breakaway speed. And at wide receiver, we're hurt a lot here by our rankings because, like, Jeremiah Smith, Cam Coleman, Ryan Williams, Carnell Tate, Eugene Wilson, Zachariah Branch, all not available for this. So I like next year's draft class, though. It's top heavy. It's not going to be as deep as the one that we're going to watch tonight. But, man, that 2026 class is, should be pretty wild with all those wide receivers that were in, you know, the top whatever. They were there was like five-star guys at wide receiver. So, all right, you went with Nick Singleton. Who I own in the home league. I love Nick Singleton. I think that's a really good pick. I'll take let's see. This one is tough because I'm thinking here, you know, Justice Haynes is not available, Baxter's not available. I could go Trey Henderson at Ohio State. Let's I'll roll with Travion Henderson.
All right. Well, you know how I feel about him. His injuries scare me, but talent-wise, it's all there. It's all there talent-wise. It just the injuries scare me with him a little bit. But, I mean, he's talented for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll back to receiver here, and I'm going to take Igbuka at five.
I like it. I like it. I'll go with the guy who I think will break out this year and look like, you know, a potential top five pick. I'm going to go with Drew Aller. There at six. At
six. Okay. So I was going to roll quarterback with my next pick here at seven, and I'm going to go different, man, in the sense of I think Jackson Dart potentially will be the top quarterback taken in the draft next year. If he can put it all together, like you said, if he has a playoff caliber season, I think it's all right there for him.
I'll go with I'll go with Judkins, at this next pick here. So that's going to be pick number nine is next for you then.
Yep. Yeah, so Judkins is a good pick, and you snaked me, so thanks.
So this is a solid draft, though. Yeah, normally if you're drafting eighth, you're a little less excited, but you're getting a Judkins or a Dart or an Aller somewhere like that. Like that's pretty solid. So I think the draft next year is going to be great. Rookie draft.
Yeah, for sure.
And then round two, round three, you're really reaching at that point for
somebody I think is going to get drafted, you know, really high. No matter how I feel about him or not, at nine, Shedeur Sanders, I think, is going to go really high. You know, like I said, no matter how I feel about him or what his dad says, who he can and can't play for, I think he's talented, man. I can't take it away from him. So,
yeah, no doubt. I'll go with a guy whose brother got drafted in the first round a couple years back. Give me Trevor Etienne. And so I think he'll have a big year for Georgia, running behind a great O-line. And I think that might propel him into that discussion of a late first-round pick, but probably a second-round pick. And when you get that kind of draft capital, that kind of stuff is super important. Running backs are so needed, you know, on any dynasty team in the NFL, where you just need to continue to draft young running backs and take chances on guys that have been shown that they're, you know, by the team.
Mm-hmm.
If they're drafted in the first three rounds, that draft capital is very important to dynasty owners. So we each get one more pick.
Well, with one more pick, this one's tough because I'm trying to think of it in terms of, you know, rounding things out a little bit, but I'm going to roll with Hampton out of North Carolina at 11, a running back.
Yeah.
It's so close to me between him, Gordon, and Genty. So, but I'm going to roll with Hampton there at 11.
And I'll roll pretty easily with Tech McMillan. I like him a lot as the 12th pick. And someone that can, you know, he could be a one, certainly. Yeah. We'll see how the season goes for him at Arizona. But, I like him a lot there at number one. So,
yeah, and real quick, guys, I'm just going to roll here with the top five tight ends real fast because we skipped over them. At five, we got Mason Taylor. Four, we got Luke Haas. Three, Tre'Davious Green, who some of you may not have heard of. He's a freshman going into LSU. Going to be really good following up Mason Taylor. Two, we got Oscar Delp. Could he be the next Brock Bowers? We don't know. And then number one, Aronde Gadsden. Kind of separates himself from the rest, I think, here. But,
and I'll say no, he won't be the next Brock Bowers. But anyways, he's still a great player in his own right. And Georgia has backups that most people don't know about who are who would be starting at like almost anywhere else. So
yeah, for sure.
Georgia's just loaded at tight end. And then they added Jurasek from Stanford. So
they did add Jurasek.
I think that's going to wrap it up for us today here on the show. Follow, subscribe. That helps a lot. Any comments we're grateful for. And if you have any questions or anything, hit us up on the Discord. It typically will pick up, you know, as we get closer to college fantasy draft season. But hey, we got to talk a little bit about rookie drafts and Devy drafts that are happening all around the country right now. So that's pretty exciting. For Doug, I'm B-Mac. You guys have a great day. Talk to you all soon.
Happy draft day.
Thank you for listening to the CFB Dynasty Podcast. Help us out by subscribing on YouTube and reviewing us on your podcast network.